2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul's last epistle that he wrote that is included in Scripture. And it's written to Timothy, his son in the faith. And I just want to read three verses, verses 3, 4, and 5. He says, "I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Lord, I thank you for this day in which we honor the gifts of moms that you have given to us. Thank you for the lessons that they have taught us. And today, as we honor them and honor you in honoring them through the word, we pray that it would feed your people, that we'd be encouraged by it, and that we'd walk out of here, Lord, having been enriched, having been in your presence, empowered to serve. I believe if we were to survey the congregation, every one of us, from children, that would be you, Chloe, to seasoned saints, and I won't mention who you are, you know who you are, and everybody in between, could look back and remember a lesson that we were taught by our moms. Now, Franklin over here. So last week, I had asked you to fill out an insert about lessons that you learned from your mom. Well, on the way out, Franklin comes to me. Now, Franklin, how old are you?
86
years young. And he wanted to tell me about a lesson he learned from his mother 8 decades ago. It stuck with him. He said that his mother enjoyed sewing. And one of the things that she would do when she came to church is she would bring a thimble. Some of us actually remember what thimbles are. Now, she would bring that thimble to church, and then Franklin would sit in the seat like he is here, and behind him, his mother would sit. And Franklin would sit with his siblings and with other youth from the church. And should those young people decide to act up in a way that was not in accordance with the church, the thimble would come out. Flick right behind the ear. And immediately the kid would understand the need for holiness in the house of God. 8 decades later, that's a lesson that Franklin has not forgotten. Because he still comes here and he still honors God. He still worships the Lord. 8 decades later, he's still faithfully a Christian following Christ. Now, it's right that we remember and learn lessons from our family. Over in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon says, "Listen, my son," this is verse 8 of chapter 1, Proverbs, "listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." That we are not to forsake our mother's teaching. Over in chapter 6, Solomon repeats this, but not only repeats it, he enlarges the blessing. He said, "My son," verse 20 of chapter 6 of Proverbs, "my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." So there are blessings for us in listening and hearing and following the commands of our parents. Now, over in our text, there are some lessons that Timothy learned from his mom. Lessons that we're going to look at today, lessons that we ought to learn if we have not yet learned today. So let's take a look. The first lesson that Timothy learned is, and that his mother did for him, is she modeled faith. Take a look in verse 5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." When Paul went on his first missionary journey, it was his first missionary journey with Barnabas. He traveled to an area that we call Galatia. Now it's modern-day Turkey. And as he traveled, he would preach in different cities in the synagogues. One of those places, he preached, and Lois, Timothy's grandma, and Eunice came to faith in Christ. Then Paul kept going with his missionary journeys, and he ended up coming back around on his missionary journey, and apparently it was that time that Timothy became a Christian as well. But Timothy didn't become a Christian at first. It was his mom and his grandma that became Christians. And in the time period from when they became believers to Timothy became a believer, Timothy had a chance to watch his mom and see her model faith. He watched her life be transformed by the power of the gospel. He watched her walk this out. Now, we have somebody in our congregation who shared with me her story of her mom. June, your daughter wrote this about you. A lesson that I learned from my mom is to always have faith and that God is with you. You are never alone. My mom has endured one of the greatest traumas imaginable, dealing with the loss of 3 children. She has always hung on to her faith and holds on to the words that God heals the brokenhearted and he is faithful. I have learned to hold on to this through trials that I have endured. Bob says she is small in stature, but he looks up to her. I lovingly call June my June bug. I've done that for probably 2.5 decades. But June, you have modeled faith for your daughter in a way that she looks at you and sees that the anchor holds. I had the privilege of walking with you through those losses and the challenge for that. And it would have been easy to become bitter towards God, but you didn't. You became better because you pressed in to know the Lord. And I just want to thank you for being not only a mother to your daughter, but a mother to my kids, a grandma to my kids, and an encouragement to my kids, because my kids know Jesus because you poured into them in nursery and the learners. So thank you. That's Benny telling you that. Modeling faith. One of the greatest gifts that moms can give to their kids, they don't have to be perfect. You know, if moms have to be perfect, moms are toast, because there are no perfect moms. But a mom has to model faith. A child will learn more from what mom does than necessarily what mom says. And when they see a mom press in, when they see a mom seeking God, when they see a mom praying for them, when they see a mom calling out on the Lord, and even when mom stumbles, that mom owns it and deals with it, what it says to the kid is, this is real. This is real, and I want that for my life. Modeling faith. But there's something else that Timothy's mom did for him. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From infancy. Timothy did not come to faith in Christ until far later on. He was a teenager when he came to faith. So who did the teaching of Timothy? It wasn't his father. His father wasn't even a Christian. His father was a Greek. His father didn't even have Timothy circumcised. His father, if he was a typical Greek, would worship a pantheon of gods. And yet Timothy's mom, as a single mom spiritually, poured into Timothy so that from his infancy up, he heard the scripture quoted over him. He heard, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He heard about the promises of God. He learned those truths about who God is from his mama. His mama probably made sure that Timothy made it to synagogue, so that they would go in there and they would hear the word of God taught and preached and read by the rabbi. It wasn't dad that did that. It was mom that invested in him year in and year out that he would learn the scriptures. Now, I know Terry Bartus is not here with us today. She's visiting her mother down in Carolina or Georgia. But Terry didn't have a husband that was a believer either. He wanted nothing to do with God or with the church. But Terry made sure that her three kids had the scripture poured into them. She invested in them. And each one of them is serving the Lord today. Each one. We had the privilege at the beginning of April to drive down to Virginia Beach and perform the wedding of Denise, her oldest, who waited on the Lord for just the right gentleman to come into her life, who married a Christian man, who had worship at their wedding, who honored God. And I attribute that because Terry Bartus said, I will raise my kids to love the Lord. There are some of you that are single moms that you don't have a father in the picture, and you had to do it yourself. Timothy's mom, Eunice, shows you that it can be done through the power of God's grace, through His Spirit, that you can help your kids learn the Word of God. But learning the Word of God isn't always just a formal process. If you flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, it's not just the formal teaching of a school. It is life teaching, looking for teachable moments. Those lessons that we learn just as we watch our moms live life. And we have someone here who has a testimony about that, about her mom. This is my wife talking about her mom. My mom taught me the importance of family and time celebrating together over the holidays, birthdays, get-togethers that we prioritize to this day. Also, having our grandparents over once a week built our relationship with them, and we learned to honor, respect, and learn from them and hear their history. Now, I doubt that Giselle's mom said, the reason I'm bringing your grandparents over here today is that we want to teach you a very valuable lesson about honoring those parents. But by bringing them over and doing the stuff of Scripture, she learned the value. Her parents, her mom, because her dad died. Her dad died when she was just 5. She had a widow as a mom, and yet mom made sure she learned. Most of us can do the same. We could go back and remember things where it wasn't formal teaching of our moms, but we learned. For example, I know for me, my mom used to take me to nursing homes with her. She had a nursing home ministry when we were in the Lutheran church. We had a nursing home ministry that we had at the Assemblies of God church. Now, my mom didn't say that you care for older people, but my mom showed us what you do. So when my mom's mom ended up getting to the point where she could no longer care for herself, my mom brought her into the house, and they took care of her for 7 years. Now, my mom didn't say, no, let me sit you down and give you a lesson, but she modeled it, she showed it, she taught me the scripture without formally. So we want to have the formal teaching, and I'm happy that in the fall we're looking to restart our Christian education. Now that we're up here permanently, we can restart helping you train and equip your kids. But at the same time, we want you to use those teachable moments at home, those moments when you can just connect and the Spirit of God comes in and you can teach Scripture. Timothy learned it from his mom. We can learn it from our moms, and we can teach our children as well. So what else did Timothy learn? Well, there's a third thing that Timothy had to learn and that we need to learn, and that has to do with showing love. Showing love. In Isaiah 49, I love this passage. God uses moms as a means of showing His love. He says here in Isaiah 49, But Zion said, The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. God uses the example of how a mom, now I got to tell you, dads, we have no clue what the umbilical connection does. But when a mom carries that baby inside of her all those months in the umbilical cord connection, there is a bond that gets established in that relationship that we guys just don't have a clue for. I know that when I was 30, my mom, "Now, honey," and she would do it just like that, "Honey, don't forget your hat." Like, "Mom, I'm 30. If I want to forget my hat, that's my choice." You know, but I get it. She's a mom. You don't stop being a mom. I mean, when I go over and visit a week or two ago, I went over and saw the Diazes. Mama Diaz is just sitting in that chair. She's like, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." She doesn't sound like a rooster, so don't get me wrong, but doesn't she do that? She's constantly, because she doesn't stop being a mom. I don't care if she's in her 70s and her kids are in their 50s. She's still a mom. And so God uses that kind of relationship and says, can a mother forget that? No way. But even if it's possible that she could stop being a mom, I will not stop being your God. The Apostle Paul over in 1 Thessalonians 2 also compares himself to a mom. He says in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 2, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." It's not that a guy can't love. It's not like a dad can't love, but there's something about a mom and a mom's love. You know, I think back in my own life, there was never a day, and I'm 56, there was never a day in my life that I ever questioned whether my mom loved me or not. Following this service today, I'm driving up to Boonville, taking my mom out for lunch. She has no clue I'm coming because it's a surprise. We got the whole church set up for that up there so I can go up there and pick her up. The mom's love. And here's what he says again. He says, like a mother caring for her little children, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. Yesterday, I met with a couple for counseling. They are parents of 3 kids in 4 years, and they've only been married 4 years. She's a little frazzled. She's a little fatigued. And I looked at her and I said, that would be normal, you know, with 4 kids. I said, do you get sleep at night? Which she thought was very funny. What I meant by that was, does he get up at all to help you? And he just looks at me. They worship their mother, which means she gets up every night. Now you tell me, I remember my wife getting up with the kids. I'm just like, huh? Ah, they're crying? Oh, they'll go to sleep. But a mom doesn't do that. A mom, I mean, you know, a mom can be downstairs. The kid could be upstairs. There could be a little whimper that dad totally doesn't hear, and mom is zipping up the stairs to make sure the baby's okay. It's something that moms do. So when we look at here showing love, Timothy ended up becoming a very loving person, not because of his dad, but listen to this in verse 19 of Philippians 2. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Now, where did Timothy learn that kind of stuff? We might say, oh, well, Timothy learned that from being with Paul, because Paul is a pastor's heart. And I'm sure that Paul influenced Timothy, but I'm going to show you where I believe Timothy got it from. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, it says, he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Long before Paul became the father in the faith, long before Paul poured into Timothy over a many, many year period of time, Mama had poured in love to Timothy. And it helped Timothy develop a compassionate heart, had helped Timothy develop a heart that cared about people. So much so that the other believers said, man, this guy's amazing. This guy knows how to love. Now, we have some people that wanted to share some testimonies about their mom. This is Marlon Binkley. She's not here today. She and her family and the Verderbers are at a, I believe it's a wedding, up in Maine. But here's what she says. My mom in a letter to one of my daughters, said, "I think of you often. I pray for you daily. I love you always." I think of you often. I pray for you daily. I love you always. She loved her whole family in this way, and we all knew it. Thank you, Lord, for a prayer warrior mom. Allison, I know I got yours here. Hold on a second. Make sure I read this. There we go. Allison called up and left a message on the answer machine, and she repeated it twice to make sure I got it. She said about her mother, Sharon, three things that stood out about her mom: her love, her care, and her support. And that was something that just stuck with you through all these years, that mama loved you, that mama cared for you. In fact, I remember at the funeral, everyone talking about how mom kept caring as a mom, kept caring as a mom and support. And then my own wife says about her mom, "Mom always took time to talk with each of us individually, especially after our father died, to have us air our feelings and process them the best we could. She listened to each of us and supported us the best she knew how." So showing love is another characteristic that Timothy... And then there's one more, and this isn't so much about Timothy, but it is about a guy who's talking about his mom. Back in the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 31, there is a king by the name of Lemuel. You probably don't know about him unless you've read Proverbs. But he was a king, and in chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "Here is an oracle his mother taught him." Now, as far as we know, King Lemuel wasn't a Jewish king. He wasn't a believer. But his mama made a difference in his life. And here's one of the things he learned from mama: speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. The slide before this said, practice justice. One of the things that King Lemuel learned was the importance of doing what was right by people. Nancy Lape, brief and to the point, said this about her mom: treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Sounds like the golden rule. But your mama, Betty Patterson, yep, taught you, and Nancy, years later, you still do that. You still treat everybody the way you want to be treated. You still reflect the character of Christ because your mama invested in you. She practiced what she preached, and you learned it and did the same. Now, Nancy, you're not someone that's going to stand up here and say, "Notice me." That's not what you do. But you will, behind the scenes, make a difference in people's lives, and we want to thank you for your service as well. Moms have a valuable role to play in our families, in our churches. Moms have the capacity to do good or to do evil. Today we've talked about some good things that moms can do. Now, unfortunately, a mom can also lead a kid astray. That's what happened to King Ahaziah. In 2 Chronicles 22, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem just 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He, too, walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. Wow. Some of you moms say, "You know, Pastor Ray, I'm tired. Maybe you're a single mom. I'm pooped. Things didn't quite turn out the way I expected." But you know what? I got to believe that if your heart is where God wants it to be, even if you messed up, that God's grace is sufficient. And maybe the first thing is you look at your kids and you say, "Look what, I'm sorry. You know, I may have failed you in this. Please forgive me. I want you to see Jesus in me. I want you to see God at work in me." In Micah 6:8, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." Moms, that's your call. But that's not just your call, that's your privilege. That you get a chance. Because one of the things they're learning more and more about neuroscience is how much a baby, you know, first we think like a baby can't do much. It kind of just like rolls over when it gets to that point, just lays there. It cries when it's hungry, it cries when it's wet, it cries when it's tired. But what they're learning more and more about babies is how much they're absorbing from their environment. And when a baby is born and that baby looks in your eyes, that baby is finding what life is like and what the world is like in the way you're looking at your child. And so moms, you have an incredible privilege and responsibility. And if you're here and you're a woman who was not able to be a mom, maybe you didn't get married, maybe you didn't have kids, maybe you weren't able to have kids. If Paul could be a mother to the Thessalonians, then you can have a mom's role in showing love and grace and doing all these things I talked about today, in modeling faith, in teaching scripture, in showing love and practicing justice. You can, in a sense, be a mother of the church that makes a difference in people's lives. And so, moms, if you're feeling a little devalued today, can I encourage you? Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your service to your families and to this body of believers. Lessons we learn on mom's knee, Franklin will teach you, last a lifetime. And may the lessons that we learn be good lessons. Let's pray. Lord, simple word, short message, but hopefully an eternal point. That the moms are valued here. That motherhood is not a secondary calling. It's not an afterthought. We affirm with Scripture that the calling of a mom is crucial. It is valuable. And I thank you, God, for every mom that did their best to help their children see that God is real, that showed faith to their kids. They may have failed along the way, but Lord, I pray that you would redeem that and that those failures, rather than being final, would be stepping stones to greater success. I pray, Lord, that they would be authentic moms to their kids and that they would show them what it is to pray, what it is to seek God like June did, to trust the Lord through fiery trials. We pray, Lord, that we would have moms here that would teach the scripture, both formally and just through the way they live, and say, this is how God does things, and that God's ways are good. They're a garland to your neck, and that they bless you. We pray, Lord, for the moms here that just by virtue of you having created them, have the capacity to show incredible compassion and love. That there's the mama's heart, and when we see these great superstars on TV, often it's, thanks, Mom, because they remember the love that was shown them that made a difference in their lives. I thank you, God, for single moms that had to carry that weight. They are sheroes that tried their best, Lord, empowered by you, to let their kids know the love of God. And Lord, I thank you for moms that taught their kids to live right, to treat people well, to be able to have them practice justice, to be concerned for the down and outers, the dispossessed, the poor, the broken, the battered, the bruised, and the victims, like Nancy learned from her mom. Lord, we just bless you and honor you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the moms in our midst and all those that are in a mother role to people in our body. That you would empower them and bless them, and they would walk out of here, Lord, not defeated or discouraged because they didn't meet the goal, but Lord, open to your work in them to redeem the days and weeks and months and years ahead so that their children will arise and call them blessed. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.